chapter 9. Read verses 27 through verse 34. When Jesus departed, that is, from the house of Jairus, and we know what transpired there. When Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on us." When he, Jesus, was come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus saith unto them, "Believe ye that I am able to do this?" They said unto him, "Yea, Lord." Then touched he their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, be it unto you." And their eyes were opened. And Jesus straightly charged them, saying, "See that no man know it." But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. And as they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man, possessed with a devil. When the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, and the multitudes marveled, saying, "It was never so seen in Israel." But the Pharisees said, "He casteth out devils through the prince of the devils." We began looking at this passage last week. Again, we've been going through the miracles of Christ, and we have two miracles recorded here. I guess really you could say three, because two blind men and then the demon-possessed man. We began last week looking at these two blind men who had followed Christ from the house of Jairus. You remember, it was at the house of Jairus, of course, that Christ raised up his daughter from the dead. And these two blind men perhaps were there with all the rest of the crowd. Perhaps they were part of the crowd that followed Jesus to the house of Jairus. But obviously they had heard of Christ. Obviously they had heard many things, not only about his miracles, but they had heard many things about him. We see in verse 27 that these two blind men followed him crying. That is, they were pleading, they were begging, they were entreating the Lord. That very word shows that they had and felt a very desperate need. Their need, of course, was sight. And they knew they were blind, and they felt their blindness. They also believed that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. They referred to him as the Son of David, which shows they had some knowledge of the Old Testament. They knew that there was a promised Messiah. Shows that they had some knowledge of David, and it tells us what they believed concerning Christ. They believed that he was the Messiah. They believed that he was the King. Again, keep in mind, these individuals are blind. They've never seen Christ. They've never seen Christ work a single miracle. They've heard, but they've never seen Christ, yet they believed that he was the Son of David. So again, that is faith. Faith is the evidence of things not seen, we read there in Hebrews chapter 11. We see also they're crying and saying, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on us." That is, they felt unworthy of the blessings of Christ. They felt unworthy to receive sight, or they felt unworthy that Christ would bless them in any way. And they plead for mercy. This also shows something else that they believed concerning Christ. It shows that they believed that he was merciful. If they did not believe that Christ was merciful, they certainly would not have come to him and pleaded for mercy. So though they had never seen Christ with their eyes, they believed that Jesus Christ was merciful. And the reason they believe that, of course, again, is because of what they've heard. They've heard about the miracles of Christ. Perhaps they heard the woman with the issue of blood testify if they were part of that crowd that followed Jesus to the house of Jairus. So they felt a very desperate need. They believed that Christ was the Messiah. They believed that Christ was the King. They felt themselves unworthy of the blessings of the Lord, and they believed that he was merciful. We see also in verse 27, and saying, "Thou son of David, have mercy on us." They left the entire cause with the Lord. They never once mentioned their blindness. Never once did they mention their blindness. Never once did they ask the Lord to give them sight. True, that's what they wanted, but they never once mentioned that. All they did was pleaded the mercy of the Lord, and they left their cause with the Lord. That is the result of faith. When you believe, and these individuals believe, they believe that Christ was the Messiah, they believed he was the King, they believed that he was merciful. They believed him so strongly that they were content to just leave it all with him. Have mercy on us. That brings us to verse 28, and this is where we left off last week. Verse 28, and when he was come into the house, that is Jesus. Up to this point, these two blind men have been following Christ. We see that the blind men came to him. Jesus entered the house. The blind men came to him. That is, they followed him into the house. So now they're closer than they were before. Before they followed, now they've come. Big difference. So now they have been drawn even nearer to Jesus Christ. Again, keep in mind that they cannot see. They cannot see Christ. They cannot see the one who is standing before them. But they can certainly feel the presence of Christ. They feel the presence of the Messiah, of the King, the one that they believed would show mercy to them. So they've drawn near to Christ. And how was it that they drew nearer to Christ? Well, the same way that the only way that you and I can as well. They did so with humbled hearts. They followed Christ saying, "Thou son of David, have mercy on us." That's humility. They pleaded no merit. Now they have come into the house, and they are standing before Jesus Christ, no doubt with humbled hearts, and no doubt with believing hearts. They would not have followed Christ. They would not have pleaded, "Have mercy, thou son of David, have mercy on us," had they not believed. But now that they've gone even a step further, they have come into the house. Faith will always progress. And faith, as long as it is practiced, will always bring you closer to Christ. Faith will not cause you to go away from Christ. Faith will always draw you closer to Jesus Christ. So these men now are in the house. And notice in verse 28, and Jesus said unto them. Perhaps there were other people in the house. We don't know. Perhaps it was just these two blind men and Christ. We don't know. But Jesus, what we do know is Jesus said unto them. He spoke directly to them. And he asked them a question. And when he asked them this question, he was challenging their faith. He was testing their faith. The question is, believe ye that I am able to do this? Again, they can't see. They can't see this one. They can hear him speaking. And they hear him very plainly ask the question, believe ye that I am able to do this? That is, are you persuaded? Are you persuaded that I can do this? That is, open your eyes. Are you convinced that I can do this? Do you know that I can do this? Do you know that I have the power and that I have the ability to do this? They answered, I believe, without any hesitation. I don't believe they said, well, Lord, give us some time. We'll think about it. We'll get back to you. They immediately answered without any hesitation, without any doubt, and no doubt with great enthusiasm. Yea. Do you believe that I am able to do this? Yea. Yes. Not, I think so. We've heard about other miracles. Yea. Yes. We believe. But not only did they express that they believed, they expressed what they believed about him, which is the reason they believe that he can do this. Yea, Lord. Yea, Lord. They believed he was Lord. Again, they have never seen him. They have never seen him work a single miracle. But they believed. They believed that he was able. Why was he able? Because he was Lord. They believed something about his person. And again, that's why we believe that the Lord is able to do, because of who he is. Again, if you don't believe who he is, you have no basis for believing that he can. So the basis of the yea is the Lord. We believe that you can do this because of who you are. You are Lord. That is, you are God. You are the ruler of all things. Yea, Lord. Then notice verse 28 or verse 29. Then, that is, following the confirmation of their faith. Following the confirmation of their faith. Then touched he their eyes. They could not see that Christ was reaching forth his hand to touch their eyes. They could not see that because they were blind. But when he touched their eyes, did they not feel? Did they not feel that touch? Certainly they did. And oh, how it must have felt. Because again, they believe that he is Lord. And he touched their eyes. The result of this, and their eyes were opened. He touched their eyes, and their eyes were opened. Their eyes being opened, they saw Christ. They now see the one whom they believe is the Son of David, whom they believe is the Messiah, whom they believe is King, whom they believe is Lord. whom they believe is merciful. Now, we don't know how long these individuals have been blind, perhaps from birth. We don't know. But when Christ touched their eyes were opened. And they saw Christ. The touch of Christ, we see it throughout the Gospels. The touch of Christ is always something special. Why? Because it is the touch of the Almighty. It is God touching. And all through the Scriptures, we read about the touch of the Lord. And each and every one of us that are saved have at least once, hopefully many, many more times than that, but at least once you have experienced the touch of the Lord. And again, people get so anti-feeling. When the Lord touches you, don't tell me you didn't feel anything. You feel something. And it's something that cannot be described. And when the Lord touches, there are results. Here the result was their eyes being opened. Their eyes being opened. That was the result of the Lord touching them. Consider the touch of the Lord. Notice in the book of Genesis, chapter 32. Notice what the touch of the Lord can do. Again, a touch is something that is very simple. It is easily done. All they had to do was touch their eyes. He didn't have to do that to heal them. He could have done many things. But at this point, he chose to touch their eyes. In Genesis 32, verse 24, "And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched." All he had to do was touch the hollow of Jacob's thigh, or the hip joint. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. What he did was he brought Jacob by a touch. He brought Jacob to the end of himself. It was a touch that brought submission. Now all Jacob could do was cling to the Lord. People say all the time, "Well, I don't know what it's going to take to turn around so and so." Just a touch of the Lord. That's all it takes. Nothing drastic has to happen. No tragedy has to happen. Just a touch of the Lord. And immediately, there was submission. In Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1. God is calling Jeremiah. In verse 6, Jeremiah said, "Behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child." Verse 9, "Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth." Jeremiah said, "I am not sufficient, I am not able, I am not capable." And the Lord touched his mouth. And he's now able. So there is an enabling power in the touch of the Lord. The touch of the Lord brings strength. Notice in the book of Daniel, chapter 10. Book of Daniel, chapter 10, in verse 10. And behold, a hand touched me and set me upon my knees, upon the palms of my hands. He's on all fours. The touch of the Lord put him in this position. Verse 16. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake, and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by this vision my sorrow, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. Verse 18. Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me. There is strength in the touch of the Lord. We see through the Gospels Jesus Christ healing, and we've already looked at some of these. And he heals by touching. Notice in Matthew chapter 8, Matthew 8 and verse 15, we've already looked at this miracle. This is when Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law, and we read in verse 15, and he touched her hand. The result and the fever left her. He could have touched her foot, he could have touched her head, it didn't matter. He touched her hand, and the fever left her. That is, she was restored to health. Notice in Luke chapter 22, Luke chapter 22, they have come to arrest Jesus Christ. We read in verse 50, and one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. Now, concentrate on what that says. It does not say that he cut his ear. It does not say that he left a gash on his ear. That's not what it says. It says he cut off his ear. He cut it off. It's gone. Verse 51. And Jesus answered and said, suffer ye thus far. That is, permit this. And he touched his ear, where his ear was, and healed it. That's the restoring power of the touch of the Lord. Touch of the Lord also brings reassurance in Matthew chapter 17. Matthew 17, verse 7. This is the transfiguration. We have Peter, James, and John upon a mount with Christ. We see in verse 6 that they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them, and said, arise, be not afraid. And as he touched them, and as his hands were upon them, he spoke. They were reassured. The touch of the Lord brings reassurance. That's what we need, is the touch of the Lord. And that's why it's good to pray for the Lord to touch them, for the Lord to touch them. Everything's okay then. The Lord fixes it. Oh, so easily. In Mark chapter 1, verse 41, we see the touch of the Lord brings cleansing. We have a leper here. And Jesus was the only one who could touch the leper and not be defiled. And Jesus moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and said unto him, I will, be thou clean. Touch of the Lord brought cleansing. And then notice, and we'll close in Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. And again, we've already looked at this miracle as well. Here we see Jesus bringing to life the son of the widow of Nain. In verse 14, and he came and touched the bier, the casket. Didn't touch the young man. simply touched the casket. And they that bare him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. There is life in the touch of the Lord. So all the power that is in the simple touch of the Lord. We have a habit of dictating to God what he should do and how he should fix whatever needs fixing or whatever we think needs fixing. And really all he has to do is touch. That's all he has to do. All he has to do is speak. And it's done. So this ought to be our prayer. Lord, touch him. Lord, touch me. There is power in the touch of the Lord. He touched their eyes, and their eyes were opened. And they saw Christ. And all today that the Lord would touch the eyes of some of his people, that they too would see Jesus Christ. Let's look to the Lord.